ball spark.
You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Monday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. So we get into all kinds of things football related. Jim Traber, 9:30. Pick his brain about the college and professional football weekend. We'll hit some college football in the middle of the, well, I guess in the second segment. Are you glass half full or are you glass half empty for the state schools? Both of which won. It doesn't seem like it, but both of which did win their games this weekend in pretty crazy fashion. So talk about that. Penn State makes a statement. As far as teams with two good wins, don't we have to say they're two wins better than maybe Bama's two wins? Where are we at on that? We'll find out. Talk about that as Alabama holds on. And where are we at across the country as conference play is about to get started for everybody? There's been some conference games sprinkled in the first couple of weeks, but it's going to come in unison now this week, and we'll see kind of where everybody's at. High school football, non-district is over. The season starts Friday, the real one. We'll talk about the games from last Friday night, where a couple of the districts were. Have we changed our mind from maybe a preseason pick to now? We'll also update the standings on the Western Oklahoma Realty Pick'em Contest and much, much more. Good morning, Jared.
How you feeling?
I'm a little tired. I'm going to be honest. I'm a little tired. It's going to take another day to recoup from the weekend festivities. Man, Carson Creek is awesome. It was in great shape.
I've always heard good things.
Great shape. It is still hard. I had a chance to break 80 yesterday in the singles match.
Oh, wow.
I needed a birdie on the 18th to break 80. And so, like, we, with the skill level of the guys with us, we do not play the tips.
Yeah.
We would probably all still be there if that happened. So we don't. Well, my match ended on 15, I won on 15 green. So in 16 and 17, we're playing. Then on 18, they have this tee box that is just way, 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 way back there.
Yeah.
You know, so like number 18 is a par 5. And there's water like in between the tee box and the fairway and then all the way down the left, all the way to the green. And so from the tees we normally play, the water isn't in play as far as carrying it. You can carry it. It's fine. Now, if you hit it left, you're probably going to be in it. But Jory and I decided, hey, let's go back. Let's go back to the very back tee. And I get back there, and I'm like, this is so stupid. I can't, you know, like, I can't hit it that far.
Yeah.
Like, the best drive I've got, I can't fly the water. Because from there, there was no choice.
Sure. Yeah.
You had to carry it.
Right.
I think they said it was like a 275 carry. And so I had swung absolutely as hard as I could, and I hit it, and I think I flew it by like a yard and a half.
Oh, my.
And then I hit it in the fairway, and then I hit a terrible third shot. No birdie, no break 80 for Aaron, for old Skinny. But congratulations to the D team. They win again. My B team, we couldn't get it done.
Oh, dear.
We finally had my man Andrew win a point in the team competition, which should have helped us out. Matter of fact, they won all but one, he and Mitch. But the rest of us couldn't pick up the slack. There was an ace yesterday on 11.
Really?
Little Colin Dyson, the youngest of the Dyson brothers, knocked it in on number 11, sucked it back, hit it behind the hole, and came down the slope right into the jar.
Wow.
So that was pretty good stuff. An ace there.
And you saw it.
It was right behind us.
Well, you heard it then.
Yes. They were behind us, and we had hit our tee shots on the next hole. And they came flying by, and we hear him yell, I think there's an ace. Because it was kind of hard to see on that particular hole exactly. And then sure enough, they got down to the green, and the hooping and hollering started.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Cool. It was a great weekend. David, thanks again for putting on just a heck of a show for us all there at Karsten Creek.
Very cool.
What about your weekend? What'd you do?
Watch a lot of football. That's really about it. Didn't have any softball going on other than practice yesterday afternoon. But there's that. Just watch a lot of really good college games on Saturday. And, of course, Friday we had the night off, so I was watching a lot of the Merritt game. Unfortunately, they came up short, but saw a good fight in them. And then, like I said yesterday, watched Baker do his thing. Got a little scary for the Browns when Baker went down with that arm injury. I don't know if you saw that, but he popped right. I mean, went to the locker room and thought, oh, boy. But came back and guided his team to a win. I know it was Houston, but Houston, I think they're kind of not as bad as some people think, the way they played in that game. And, of course, watched Dallas win it at the buzzer, and that game last night was pretty fun, too.
Man.
Baltimore taking down Kansas City, Kansas City took down Kansas City, or Edwards-Helaire took down Kansas City with that fumble. But how about the gutsy call to go for it on 4th-and-1?
Yeah, see, that was right at the point where we were kind of shuffling around. Tell us what happened.
Baltimore had a 1-point lead, but with well over 2 minutes left, Kansas City has the ball, and it's kind of like the Tampa Bay-Dallas game. You thought, that's too much time for Patrick Mahomes and team to go down. I mean, that's plenty of time for them to get in to field goal range, and they're doing just that, and it was on the Baltimore side of the 50, and Edwards-Helaire just straight up fumbled it. I mean, it was clear. I forget who it was, but I believe it was a defensive end who came around, caused the fumble, and recovered it. And then all Baltimore needed was a first down to run at the clock, came up 4th-and-1 at about midfield. And you would see later in postgame, it was basically Harbaugh asking his quarterback, Jackson, do you want to go for it? And he said, yeah. And they went for it, and he got more than enough to get the first down and hold on to the win. So, big win for Baltimore, a team I was really down on preseason because of their off-season stuff with the injuries and whatnot, especially offensively. But that's a gutsy win for them in prime time at home, protecting their home turf, coming off of a short week loss. Usually that spells disaster for a team like that. But you're going up against the AFC favorite and beating them. That division might be better than what we think.
Oh, I already thought it was the second best. It's going to be hard.
Well, I said. I didn't think Baltimore and and of course the Steelers are the Steelers, and they lost. But I think but they're still going to be the Steelers. Especially in divisional play, I think they're going to turn some heads too. But Baltimore, I think, is better than what I thought. I'll eat crow on that one. But turning to Kansas City, though, I saw an interesting thing yesterday about their last – I'm going back to last season. Obviously, the Super Bowl loss, struggled against Cleveland in the playoffs. You can go back and back every time. And they did have a loss against – help me. Was it Tennessee? It was a throwaway game where Patrick Mahomes didn't even play at the end of the season, and they lost. But it's not like they've been blowing people out. It's like they've been down the wire a lot lately. Do you think they're figuring him out, they being the league?
No, because it was the Chargers.
Chargers, thank you. Thank you. Yes, yeah, I saw that. Yeah, Chargers.
No, because –
So that's what got me thinking was, is the gap closing between Kansas City and everybody
now
else?
Now, that might be right, but not offensively, no. I mean, they're scoring 32, 33, 27, 27, 35, 33, 35, 43, 40.
Right.
Yeah. Now, maybe they're – I'm not saying that the gap isn't closing, but offensively, they're still rolling.
Yeah, they're still – yeah. Remember when their defense was their Achilles heel? They kind of fixed that, shored that up. Obviously, in their Super Bowl run, they did. And even last year, up to a point, but now they're giving up points. It's like it's almost like 2017 OU. You just have to outscore the other opponent because your defense can't stop anybody.
I do think there's a little bit. It's not quite as fine-tuned. You know, you replace Sammy Watkins' production last year with Hardeman or somebody, and it's without that, it almost does feel like they're maybe like a half a guy shy. Because you know who you didn't hear from last night? Hardly at all.
Who's that?
Tyreek. They did a great job on him.
Yeah.
And so if you can, that offense, if you could stop the run, which Baltimore did with pretty decent success, and then can take away one of Hill or Kelsey, then yeah, I mean, it definitely makes it easier to play defense that way. But it's also easier said than done.
Right.
But just three catches, 14 yards. I mean, you can't possibly ask for more than that against Tyreek Hill.
Right.
And with him, without that humming, they don't seem as tough to stop. Now, having said all that, they still scored 35.
Yeah. Yeah, they're still scoring.
And you
points.
Think that that's enough to win the game, but it wasn't last night, and Lamar Jackson a big part of that, especially on the ground. But I think that I can't wait to get Jim's thoughts on this, because I think what we're seeing in Baltimore and the thing that people were worried about, especially right there as the season was starting, proves a point that he's been trying to make for years. And we're watching it live and in living color. And that is, you can literally pick up anybody to run the football in the NFL. I mean, that's where they just picked the dudes up off the scrap heap.
Right.
Tyson Williams. Who is that? Nobody's ever heard of him.
No.
I mean, Devonta Freeman was on the field last night. Who didn't know he wasn't still in Atlanta?
I'm surprised I haven't called up Peterson.
See, I think it's an interesting question, but I think that's happening later in the season.
Right.
It's too early for that.
Don't want to get it. Yeah, that's a good point.
It's too early for that. He's too old. Yeah. He just needs to get like 4 games under his belt for a playoff run for somebody.
Okay, that's I could see that happening.
Yeah.
For a contender, yes. I can see that happening.
Jim Traber coming up here in about 10 minutos right there at 9:30 to finish out the hour with us here on a Monday. All right, so on the high school gridiron, we hit that first. We'll have to go quick probably through a lot of this. But in 4A1, there were some teams off. Only half the district played. Three had already played their full allotment of non-district games. Clinton didn't get to play because of the Millwood thing, and Millwood not making their grade. So Elgin fell to Tecumseh. Weatherford beat Woodward. Blanchard in a close one knocked off Newcastle. And then Chickasha beat Darko in a shootout. So that gets to 4A1. You've got two unbeatens, Elk City and Woodward. Elk City and Weatherford. The Elks 3-0, Weatherford 2-0, because they got one of the games scrapped against El Reno. 6 of the 8 have a winning record with only, let's see, who is it? It's Elgin, and it is, I just had that up. Oh, here it is. Who's the other? Elgin and Chickasha? No, Chickasha's 2-1. Newcastle, 1-2. It's only those two without winning records in the non-district. Have any of the results throughout here early in the season changed your mind on who the favorites to be the 4 teams in the playoffs are?
The favorites being Clinton, Weatherford.
Cash and Pick
Cash
One, probably.
And
Probably going into the season it was Bethany or Newcastle.
The Bethany-Woodward game still stays with me. So, but I still think they're a playoff team. You know, goodness, not really. Not really. I think Newcastle. Well, we see Elk City every week, obviously, and we like what we see. But let's be honest, the quality of opponent's not that great outside of Pampa. Pampa was good, and I like to go back and see how they do. I didn't see how they did this last Friday. But ask me this question a week from today.
Yeah. Now, when you look
at it, I can give you an easy answer when we know the results of 4 teams versus the other 4 teams. So, and I think, and I said this on Friday, I think the Elgin. I think it's perfect to play Elgin the first game of the district because Elgin appears to be down, and I think it'd be incredibly big for the confidence for Elk City to go to Elgin, beat them, go 1-0 in the district, and then they can start to believe, and then I'll start to believe, like, you know what? I think they are a top four team in this district. So, but right now, I just, it's hard for me to answer that question. I think the top two are clear. I think the middle.
Who?
Clinton Weatherford and toss them around, honestly.
I don't know if I think that.
Who do you think's top one?
I think Clinton's the best team.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if Weatherford's next.
Think see some flaws on Friday.
Man, 25-15, really?
But I mean, but it might be a Wood, that might be a Woodward team that beat Bethany.
Yeah.
You know, I almost want to call a coach and go, "Hey, can I get an interview? What happened at Clinton? What happened versus Bethany?"
Right.
You know what I mean?
There was I do think that Weatherford, the schedule breaks pretty well for them. When you look the way they stay, Chickasha at home, Elgin at home, then they go to Newcastle, then they come here. And then it ends Clinton at Bethany at Cash. So it ends with what you would think are the three other best teams the final 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see how that goes. I do think that helps just right there at the front of the schedule. I think it'll be interesting.
I think Chickasha winning last week was kind of a...
Yeah, what's Darko?
I think Anadarko is what it is. They're a little overrated.
Yeah, Chickasha goes to Weatherford. I mean, there could be a chance to kind of turn it on its head. I think Bethany Cash will be an interesting game. That'll be the one that I have my eye on, see who wins, you know, how that game plays out.
Nothing like high school football talk to light up my phone.
In Class A, District 1, I think there is an absolute shocker when you look at the pre-district standings. And that shocker is, as far as Class A District 1, the defending runner-up is winless.
Yeah, it appears like it could be a long season for Thomas based on the results from Friday night, losing 47-0. That doesn't happen at Thomas.
Mm.
And it happened, well... Yeah, it actually happened at Thomas. So, Moreland's going to be tough. Fairview's tough. Hooker's tough. I think Burns Flat's tough.
Yeah, you were texting me that. Moreland got a win over Woodland. That was one of the biggest games in the state last Friday night. You know, I think it was like number 7 or 8 on the Oklahomans list of the top 10 games. And the Bearcats win 30-28. So, that's a nice win. And then... Four undefeated teams in that district, 6 of the 8 have winning records. Now in District 2, a little bit different story, as not a single team has a winning record coming out of the non-district portion of the schedule. Carnegie, Hobart still without a win. Everybody else either 1-2 or 1-3. Never know what that is. Sometimes that's playing really good competition in the non-district. Sometimes that means District 2 is weak. We'll see which one of those it is come playoff time. But if you just look at those two matched up head to head, a bunch of those losses from District 2 came at the hands of teams in District 1 in the non-district. So I think if you're, you know, the two Beckham County schools, you're looking down there going, wish we could be in that other one.
Yeah.
It might bode a little bit better for our playoff chances if we were down there in District 2 instead of District 1. So real quick on the high school gridiron. I think both fan bases have a clear choice on how to look at this. You either have your glass is either half full or your glass is half empty. Or maybe a little bit of both. But obviously the big talk in Norman is what's wrong with the offense? What's wrong with Spencer Rattler? Why can't they score? But on the other hand, if you wanted to choose to be positive, Pauly, you could say, well, Oklahoma loses those games the last couple of years because the defense wouldn't have been good enough to win.
Right.
And Stillwater, same thing. Throw for 82 yards and win a game. That would have been unheard of.
Yeah.
Over the past decade.
Yeah.
Take a 21-20 lead into the halftime locker room and pitch a shutout. Now, you got shutout too. but pitch a shutout to win on the Smurf turf would have been unheard of. So, you know, it's just a – I think it's especially easier to fly off the handle as fans of these two schools when the glaring problems are offensively because you're not used to it.
Right.
And nobody trusts the defense to really be good enough to carry him through all the way throughout the season and winning.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of my analysis of starting with OU was, yeah, the offense looks like it's fluttering, but as that game wore on, the more I trust the defense, even when Nebraska was putting up long drives. Now, they got a little help with that shanked field goal and the blocked extra point. I mean, Nebraska's kicking game is abysmal, but so that's what I took away from it. It's like, you know, the offense can flutter and the defense still showing up. And keep in mind, there was some players, not key players, but defensively, there's a lot of players out for OU. And that kind of got me worried going into the game when I heard the injury report like 30 minutes before kickoff. I thought, oh, man, the depth might be a problem. But and I said that too immediately after game. I said, in years past, OU loses that game because their defense would give up those unnecessary points. So, and OSU, hey, I mean, that's something to be proud of, to go to Boise and win. But let's face it, they were lucky they didn't go, that fumble.
Well, I mean, those are the breaks. Yeah.
Those are the breaks you got to. Yeah, you can't take advantage. You got to take advantage of them. And so it was not a turnover, and that was key too.
Well, it was a turnover, just wasn't a touchdown.
Well, did they call it a?
Yeah, it was a fumble.
Oh, I see.
But they blew it dead, so the touchdown didn't count.
Oh well, shit. Yeah, but Sanders. I thought they called the game to keep him in control.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And if he, again, takes care of the football, then they're going to win more than they lose.
And I think that listening to Gundy's postgame remarks, it was kind of like telling the fan base, listen, this isn't what you're used to seeing, but this is how we have to play right now to win.
Yeah.
And it's not make fatal mistakes offensively that put our defense in the position where they can't pull us out of the fire. Because it's clear for Oklahoma State that the strength of that team is defense. It's not offense. Now, they got the running game going. Jaylen Warren was awesome with over 200 yards. Had the long one there.
Yep.
At a really key time early in the game, 14-3, and just kind of settled that thing down for Oklahoma State. And, you know, Cowboys finished the half really nice when it looked like, you know, things were – even after that touchdown, it was 20-7 after Boise scored again. But
yeah, it would have been easy to fold it up.
Then they get the two scores and they end up winning the game. So there's some good, but there's definitely some warning signs for both schools. And here's the deal. It's all about expectations. If your expectation for Oklahoma is just to win the Big 12 title, then you're fine right now. Hey, we won. It's what you're thinking as a fan. We won. It's no big deal. If your expectation is a national title, you're looking at that team going, nope.
Yeah.
And if you're Oklahoma State, if you're just, you know, 8-4, 9-3 is good, you're going, yeah. If your expectation is to play in the Big 12 title game, you're going, nope.
It's true.
So I think that's a big part of where you stand, glass half full, glass half empty.
Stat that stood out to me, someone tweeted this. Last year, OU starts 1-2, and I forget the numbers. Basically, you look at it, and I know it helps when you demolish a team by 70-some points, but this year they're 3-0, and they're actually offensively performing better these three games than the last three games of the first three games of last year.
Right.
So it's interesting. They started 1-2 last year, went on to win the Big 12. Maybe they just got to get some games under their belt. We'll see. But this week's going to be a big test. West Virginia is no slouch.
Yeah, K-State coming to
K-State
OSU.
K-State too, yeah.
It's going to be good stuff. Joining us now is the voice that you'll hear at 2 o'clock right on these airwaves. It is the ultimate Jim Traber. Jim, how are you this morning?
I'm good, fellas. How you guys doing?
Doing good. Before we really dive in, I've got a question for you.
Okay, and I got something I want to say, so go ahead.
Okay, go ahead. Okay, here we go. What happened? Do you know what happened on this very day back in 1998?
1998?
Yes. September 20th, 1998.
Jeez. I got no idea what happened.
Cal Ripken Jr. wasn't in the lineup.
Oh, this is it, huh? Ryan Mice?
Yes.
Crazy. I did not know that that was the day. That is really crazy.
Yeah, I just heard that.
I know he still wanted to play, too. I've talked to him about it. He still wanted to play, but he realized he had to get rid of it, get it over with. So. How about some of those stupid people that would say, oh, they got to get him out of the lineup and blah, 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 blah. It was just crazy stuff. There was always haters for everything. And then when people are hurt and they don't play, they rip them, too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's interesting on his perspective of it, which you would know, knowing him and playing with him and stuff. How much do you think that wore on him as it went along, as far as hearing that noise of that versus, hey, I'm showing up to do my job every single day like anybody else in America has to do?
Yeah, I mean, what he would say all the time was, if there was somebody who could play better than me that day, then they should play. But guess what? There wasn't anybody who was going to play any better that day. And towards the end of it, sure, he got older, but guys could still play. So I just I'm going to tell you right now, anybody who got to be around him like I did would – I mean, there's no way that they could feel any different about the dude. He was just a gutsy, great teammate, tremendous baseball player. And, I mean, I just – you know, I bow down to the guy. He's one of the most amazing baseball players of all time. He really is. And I used to laugh when people would call my show and go, maybe he shouldn't play anymore. I'm like, yeah, whatever. It's just stupid. But I understand. People always have to hate with everything.
That's right. All right, what do you got?
I want to let all know all the great listeners out there in Elk City and all the areas around and Woodward and everywhere that, you know, I announced it on my show last week that I got a new Instagram page. It's just at Jim Traber, and it's going well. I got some really interesting posts on there. I think you'll be able to find out more about me and the things that we do in our family. And also, there's some big announcements coming up here in the next couple of weeks, too. So I'm very excited about that. I'm trying to expand my brand, fellas. I expand my belly all the time. Now it's just time to expand my brand.
All right, so big time. I don't even have Instagram.
At Jim Traber on Instagram.
It's time for me to get on Instagram.
I think it's time.
Come on.
Ditch the Twitter and hit the Instagram.
There you go.
Yeah, you know what? All of them are about the same, I guess. But this Instagram thing is—I'm just trying to learn it. I actually posted for the first time myself, so that's pretty good without Julie having to do it for me. But yeah, we just started it, and I've got about 2,700 people, so we're going to be cranking it up, getting after it.
I'll be lucky to get 27. That's pretty impressive.
All right, so. This weekend, the in-state schools, I think you can go half full with the glass or half empty with the glass. And I think it all depends on what your expectations were for the season. If you're an Oklahoma fan that just thought winning the Big 12 was going to be good enough, then you're okay. You're like, oh, yeah, that's a win. If you're expecting a national title, then you're going, nuh-uh, that ain't happening. For Oklahoma State, if 8-4 is good enough, I think you're going, all right. If you're wanting to play for the Big 12 title, I think you're going, nope, that's not going to happen. So what were your thoughts on the two in-state schools this week with wins but definitely showing flaws?
I don't know if I've ever, in all the years that I've been doing radio after three games, not have any idea about either team. I mean, it's really, really weird. I know one thing, you know, I think both of them, even though they're both 3-0, I don't think either one of them is as good as I thought they were going to be. I mean, if we start down in Norman, you know, I'm really starting to think differently about Spencer Rattler, guys. Mm-hmm. Not about his talent. I mean, he's an absurdly talented kid. But, you know, he had a chance to have four interceptions on Saturday. I mean, he's throwing the ball up way too much. And then after the game, the old thing that I just can't stand, Lincoln Riley talking about how well he played and one time, he had a chance. And then I listened to him. I mean, you would have thought that the dude played a really good football game. I don't know. This whole deal about how these coaches and players try to convince us of things like we're total idiots, just drives me up a wall. But I don't know, man. I'm not real excited about his attitude. I'm not real excited about his mental makeup this season so far. He's not as good as I thought he was. He's just not. Now, if you say, you know, let's take all the quarterbacks in the country and have them stand flat-footed and see who can throw the ball further, I'm going to bet he wins that. You know, I'm going to say who can throw the ball on the run right on the money at times. He's right up there with it. But I'm sorry, guys. It's just not it's not what I thought it was. And, you know, look, defensively, you know what's interesting to me? One of the things I can't stand about radio is that on Friday we talk about a team, and then after they play, we talk differently about them.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stand that, guys. Oh, Nebraska's offense isn't any good. Now, Adrian Martinez threw the ball better than I've ever seen it, and if he throws the ball like that, guys, they'll win some games. But he's not very good. He can't throw. So was it him just having an unbelievable day, or was it the lack of pressure with that three-man rush that they kept firing out there, and dude still being open? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. So, again, OU fans are going to go, oh, you're just so negative. Well, I was told at the beginning of the year that that Spencer Rattler was the number one pick in the draft, the leader for the Heisman, and the first-team All-American quarterback. Did we not hear that, fellas?
Oh, yeah. Heard? Yep.
Okay. Well, he's not playing up to that. So if people want to say, well, you know, maybe the expectations are too high. You know what the expectations are at the University of Oklahoma at quarterback now? That's what they're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And you know who did that? Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, and Jalen Hurts. And by the way, I could go even further back, but I'm just talking about right now under Lincoln Riley. So I don't know, man. I can't stand it when people try to tell me something that I know isn't true. There were four different times where, and you guys know this, four different times where balls could have been intercepted. If the young kid Mario Williams wouldn't have played defensive back, two of them were guaranteed.
Yes.
So I know. And then as far as Oklahoma State's concerned, look, they made adjustments at halftime. I've told you guys all year long, I think OSU's defense is good. I don't think it's as good as they think they are. All right? I think they think they're one of the greatest defenses that's ever stepped on the field. And the first half, they got beat up. And remember, I told you guys, this would be the second-best quarterback they face all year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they did a really nice job in the second half shutting them out. I give a lot of credit to that. And I give credit for Oklahoma State realizing what they had to do to win the game. But I'll tell you this. You know, they talk about, well, all these receivers that were out, blah, blah, blah. Well, they had human beings standing out there. Can they not catch? I mean, you had to throw it sometime. They won the game by the hair of their chinny chin chin. And listen closely, guys. If the referees would have made the right call, which is you don't blow the whistle on a near fumble like that, because you can always change it,
right?
Right. You let the play out. That's what everybody has talked about ever since this whole thing has come up with replay. So if they would have just let the play go like they should have, and they return it for a touchdown, OSU probably loses, right? So, I mean, again, yes, I'm negative Nancy, but I judge these teams higher than being 3-0 and barely getting by. So we'll see. I mean, they're going to start playing in the Big 12 right now. OSU's getting a big break, I think, by not having Skylar Thompson. I still think that's going to be a big-time game. And I'll tell you this, if OSU doesn't have those guys back and they think they're just going to line up and run it on Kansas State, I think that probably doesn't happen. And then, you know, West Virginia, I talked about this on TV last night. They did not agree with me, but I feel pretty strongly about it. You know, guys, I've told you all for years, I care about the mental aspect of the game a lot more than other people do, all right? And if you look at these four games they had in a row, Nebraska, okay, yeah, the players didn't realize about the 50 years, but they heard about it all week, and the crowd was just incredible. So they were fired up. They came out fired up. Then Kansas State, well, they got 2 years of revenge.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Texas is huge. This game is the lull game. This West Virginia is the lull game. I think West Virginia's got a pretty good football team. So I'm just saying, OU better be ready to play and continue to play. Because it seems like, you know, my Steelers can't score at the beginning of a game. They're just terrible at the beginning of the game. Well, OU is the exact opposite. I mean, they come out and get after it right away. I don't know if it's because of the great game planning. Probably is because Lincoln Riley is just so brilliant. But after that, they slow down. And they can't do that in the Big 12, fellas. You can't be scoring, you know, 6 points in a long period of time. If you do that, they're going to get beat. So we'll see. I thought that they were – I thought, you know this, all the way back to last October, I said on the air, and I said it with you guys, I thought that this is a year that OU, for the first time in a really long time, had a chance to win the national championship. I'm not feeling real strong about that. Now, the good thing is, and every team except Georgia, you know, has struggled. Even Alabama struggled.
Right.
Florida, I think, is pretty daggone good. And when that quarterback plays the way he did, then they're really tough at home. But having said all that, everybody's struggling, right? You know, I had a guy call my radio show, the post-game show, and say, I don't think OU should even be in the top 15. And I was like, after he hung up, I said to Al, I said, name me 15 teams that are better. I mean, I don't think they should be 3 or 4 in the country, but name me 15 teams. They're, all of them are struggling, guys. So it's just a weird year so far. So I guess that's a good thing for OU. But I don't know, man. They're going to have to get a lot better, fellas, a lot better.
Yeah, and when you look at the stats and you watch the game, with Rattler, especially, you know, middle of the first quarter on, struggling to make the right decision, throw the right pass, and then the running game rolling the way it really was. I mean, everybody that ran the football ran for over 5.5 yards a carry. How much do you think that lack of depth at the running back spot has Lincoln Riley just a little bit gun-shy to really run the football, trying to protect those two guys that he has on scholarship?
Well, maybe that's too early, but it can't. When the Big 12 happens, you just got to get after it,
yeah.
Right? I mean, that's just the way it is. And I'll tell you this. I said to Al Eschbeck after the game, I think Lincoln Riley's a little skittish right now with Spencer Rattler.
Yeah.
I do. Lincoln Riley hates turnovers, right? That's all big-time offensive people. They can't stand turning the ball over. Well, when he sees him throw it up with 2 and 3 guys around him, I really think the game was, dude, have they gone fast at all?
No.
Have you seen him go fast at all this year? None. So I think they're really, I don't know, I think Lincoln Riley, if we did the dreaded truth serum with him, I think that he's a little skittish with his quarterback. And I also think he's a little nervous with his running back getting hurt. So this will be one of the greatest coaching years offensively that he'll have to have. We'll see how much better they can get.
I want to turn the focus on the defense, OU's defense particularly. Are they better? I mean, it just seems to me that in years past, a game like that on Saturday, they lose because they're basically the defense, there is none. It appears to me they're looking better and better. Is this something that OU fans can, you know, maybe bank on, maybe hope, and hey, if the offense flutters a little bit, at least that defense is good enough to keep them in it and maybe get a win?
I mean, yes and no. I mean, I think the defense is good. Again, I don't think it's great. I think, like I said, going into that game, fellas, we did not think the – no, you give up 16 points, that's not bad. But it seemed to me like, I don't know about you guys, but it seemed to me like it was more than 60. I mean, just the way the game went, you know. But they made the plays that they had to make, and that's the key. Listen, I don't want to be negative, I mean, just negative Nancy so badly on the two teams that are both, 3-0. But OU standards, fellas, are high.
Yeah.
You know what? At least they haven't lost a game yet. At least they haven't lost a stupid game that they've lost in the past years. So they still got a chance to, do what they want to do. And then Oklahoma State, I don't know, man. They're hard to figure out. I don't know how in the world you give up 20 points in the first half and none in the second half. They say they made adjustments. That's nice. That's good stuff. But how'd you give up 20 in the first is mind-boggling to me. No, I did say that Boise's offense was good, though.
Shifting our focus to the NFL. This is another one of those, yeah, it's great that Zuerlein makes a 56-yard field goal to win the game for Dallas yesterday, but what in the world was Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott doing there in the last 30 seconds of the game? I mean, it was mind-boggling to watch the clock just tick and tick with one timeout and trying to get closer. Obviously, another 10 yards usually means a ton to get inside of that 50. And instead, they just watched the clock run down and then called a field goal or called a timeout for a 56-yarder. Now, it went in. But this is something that Mike McCarthy has had with him his entire career, that late-game clock management. And his kicker bailed him out, thankfully. Good win for the Cowboys, but, man, at the end of it, I'm just sitting there watching it going, what in the world are you doing? Settling for a 56-yard field goal attempt to win the game.
Well, and then he just lied through his teeth like all these coaches do. Well, you know, we knew we were in field goal range. Really? 56 yards in field goal range? I mean, what is wrong with this guy? No, you're right, man. This is one of the things that McCarthy has had problems with before. He usually just has people bail him out. Let me tell you, if Zuerlein misses that field goal and they lose in overtime, he gets obliterated today.
Yes.
It was a really good win, though. I mean, it really was. I mean, your Cowboys are definitely better. I mean, they got all those dudes that are hurt and then, of course, cheating. Like, you know, you have to do if you're a Cowboy. That's the only – you have to go against the rules if you're a Cowboy. And they went in there and won. And I think the Chargers are a pretty good team. So their defense is better. There's no doubt their defense is better. And they've got a solid offense. So, I mean, a really good offense. So I don't think there's any doubt. And, you know, they ran the ball well. I think that they've got a chance to win that division. Especially now, we'll see about Heineke. Heineke's looked good. I still think Fitzpatrick would have made them better. But yeah, no, you definitely got a chance to win your division this year. No doubt about it. It's a good win, though.
What about your steal, man? Unable to score enough to hang. And you know what? I heard you talking about Derek Carr last week after that Monday night game. That dude, I just saw a stat that over the past like 5 years, he's second in the league in percentage of drives that he's quarterback that have ended up in scores. Like 48% have ended up in scores, only behind Pat Mahomes. That dude is underrated. People don't realize how good Derek Carr really is.
Yeah, and last week I said that I would take him over Baker Mayfield, and my man Matt Ravis disagreed. And then some dude on my Instagram, he answered like I put a video out, and his answer to me was, I would never take Carr over Baker Mayfield. What is wrong with you people? He's thrown for over 800 yards in his first two games, and I might add against the Ravens and the Steelers. Yeah. Now I will tell you this, and you guys know I'm not an excuse maker, but the Steelers have no Tuit. Early in the game, Tua, I can't pronounce his name, but the big fella inside got hurt. And then T.J. Watt was out the whole game. They had no pass rush really on him at all, like they normally do. But still, he threw for 386 yards. So, that dude could play. It's just that nobody really knows about him because he's playing out there and they've just been clueless. I'm not saying they're a great, great team, but they're pretty good. They're not going to play with the Chiefs, but they got a chance to get in the playoffs. Look, the Steelers have got to win at home. Big Ben, you guys know, I wanted him gone in the offseason. I'm not one of those, sentimental guys. I don't care if somebody plays for years and years and years. If he's not good anymore, you shake his hand, name the locker room after him, and you move on. He's just not the answer. He's made some good throws. He's thrown the ball down the field, but he can't move at all. You used to remember he made a little subtle moves and people would bounce off of him. Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen anymore. If they get to him, he's down. I thought the Steelers offensive line did a pretty nice job. I know that they didn't run for very much, but they did a decent job of protecting for their second game together. Look, at this point, I had them 1-1. It was just the opposite way.
Right.
I had them beating the Raiders, and I had them losing to Buffalo. So they're 1-1. I still think they're about a 9-18. We'll see. I know that division is all tied up. Everybody's 1-1. And by the way, the Browns, fellas, they struggled their tails off with the maybe the worst roster in the entire NFL. And I'll tell you this, if Tyrod Taylor wouldn't have got hurt, that might have been a different game. So, I mean, again, Baker Mayfield did what he does. He stands back there. His jersey never gets dirty. He's got the best offensive line around. He's got the best running game around. I mean, I would have loved to quarterback that team. So, yeah, Baker's really good quarterback. But, I mean, Derek Carr and him are playing with two totally different teams, right? You guys would agree with that, right?
Oh,
and Derek Carr's making plays all over the field. And you know, Baker's doing a good job, but he's just got so much help. But the Browns barely, and I know they won by 10 points, but if you watch the game, they barely beat. I mean, they were struggling with the Texans.
Yeah, Tyrod.
So, anyway, go ahead.
Right, Tyrod Taylor, 10 of 11, 125, and a touchdown, and ran for another one. in the first half before he got hurt and was unable to play.
By the way, him and Baker had about the exact same stats at half, except that Baker threw an interception. That would be really the kind of difference of the two. And that's Tyrod Taylor. So I think the Browns' defense is an interesting situation. I don't know how good they are. I know they've got names, but I'm telling you, if you block some people up front, I think their defensive backs are very average. So we'll see. I mean, they probably will win the division. The Steelers are all banged up already. The Ravens, what a win for them last night, man.
Yeah.
But I will say this, guys. I have to give it up to myself because all I ever talk about is how meaningless running back.
I told Jared this before you came on.
I said, if
there is ever a team to prove that Jim's theory about running backs is right, it's the Baltimore Ravens right now.
Yeah. I mean, they've had like four dudes go down, and they're still winning. It doesn't matter if you get a quarterback that can run and throw, and then when you run and throw with the quarterback, then the running back gets some room. I'm telling you guys, it's just not that big. Who's the other? There's another team that lost three running backs in one game. Who was it this weekend? One team lost three running backs in one game. Maybe a Western team. Was it? Oh, it was the 49ers.
49ers, yeah. 49ers.
Yeah, they had already lost Mostert, and then now they lost three guys in one game. You know what? I bet you they're still going to be okay. Running back is the most overrated position in all of football.
Yeah, Baltimore is on their, fourth and fifth and sixth? I didn't even know Devontae Freeman wasn't still on Atlanta, and they ran it for 250 last night on 41 carries. And Jackson
and of
helps.
Quarterback. Yeah, of course. The quarterback helps, yeah. But, yeah, it's – I mean, Najee Harris, dude, he's a stud. I mean, he had that Alabama stiff arm. That's what they got to call it now, right?
Yeah.
The Alabama running back just run over. By the way, they got another one just like him. I mean, I'm just watching every year. They got this big, huge running back that can run. But anyway, he got a great touchdown pass that he – caught yesterday out of the backfield. I still don't want him. I'd rather have an offensive tackle. I'd rather have somebody that can do something because he just doesn't make that massive of a difference. I know people are going to say, what about Henry? Okay. You know why? Because that's all they want to do is run the ball. They preface themselves about running the football. And you know what? They're never going to win anything the way they play. Nothing. So fine, you got a big-time running back, but you're not going to win anything.
All right, before we go, last week controversy started brewing up ahead of the Ryder Cup with Brooks Koepka's comments and then Zinger firing back at him. I really thought reading what Koepka said, he told us all the problem in the Ryder Cup for the last 25 years for the Americans. And it's just that they're not used to it. They're so programmed to being individuals and not teammates. And then he, frankly, doesn't really sound like he wants to do it all that much.
I'm not going to get on the Koepka, though, dude.
Right.
I'm not going to do it. I love what he said. He was being truthful and honest.
Right.
And I love what Azinger said, okay? But they come from different eras. And nowadays, if you play a sport that is a sport all about you, that's what you're used to. That's what you're groomed for.
Mm-hmm.
I totally understand it. I really do, guys. I'm sorry. I mean, I'll be cheering him on in the Ryder Cup. The people over there in England, they're brought up in Europe. They're brought up differently than we are. This is more important to them. So I love that Koepka spoke his mind. I really do. I'm becoming more and more of a Koepka fan every day. And, of course, the number one reason why is because he can't stand DeChambeau just like me. By the way, how about DeChambeau going, I've got blisters all over my hands because I'm working so hard for the Ryder Cup and for the long driving contest. Yeah. You want to talk about somebody that doesn't care about the Ryder Cup?
Yeah.
Why won't anybody get on to him? I would rather have Koepka come out and say, look, this is really weird, man. We don't normally do this. This is not what we're all about. I'd rather have somebody come out and do that instead of some idiot like DeChambeau talking about how he's also getting ready for a long driving contest at the same time as the Ryder Cup. Who cares less about it? I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I think DeChambeau is talking about he cares less about it.
Yeah, I don't think there's any reason to get on Koepka for being the truthful. I just think the truthfulness of what he said explains a whole bunch of why the Americans don't do as well in this competition as what you think they should.
Right. No, you're right. No, you're exactly right. It's not as important to them. And listen, I think they care about playing for their country. You know, I would have put Patrick Reed in too. I don't know about you guys. Everybody hates Patrick Reed. That dude, when he plays in the Ryder Cup, he plays good. Does he not?
Oh yeah. No, just I don't know if he's healthy enough to do it.
You're
getting the,
right.
the infection
maybe
and all that.
Not.
But yeah, maybe he's not. So.
I promise you, the Americans are going to miss him because he's kind of the Ian Poulter of the American side.
Yeah, he's got an attitude. Mm-hmm. That's what you need, man, when you play against people. Like, you need a little bit of an attitude. And, you know, it's a good thing that the golfers don't like him. I'm talking about the European golfers. Like, nobody likes him. Well, good. Let him go out there and beat him. Thank goodness they didn't put Mickelson in there. Jiminy Christmas. I was going to go crazy as Stricker, but he put him in as a captain, right, so he could just stand there and help people, I guess. But I'm glad they didn't put Mickelson in there. How did he win a major?
I don't know. It's
him and Tiger.
We may look back at those two wins as the most ridiculous wins of all time.
How did they win?
How did that happen?
I got people that were 1,000,000% against me on Tiger Woods that say to me now, I don't know how in the world he won. I mean, I don't know what happened. I mean, maybe he sold his soul to the devil. Maybe that's what happened. And by the way, you know, they say Stricker said he's getting ready to come back and play again, so all you little Tiger babies could get all fired up again to watch him.
I'm afraid that him being
that was
back.
You skinny, by the way. Yeah. That was you skinny.
Oh, I know. I've always wondered what it was like to watch Willie Mays in a Mets uniform. I may get to see it. If he actually comes back and you just wouldn't think there's any way he'd be healthy enough. But
so,
anyhow.
Who was the other one? Johnny Unitas as a Charger. Was that who it was? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bad.
I don't know, man. I just don't know how they win. But they both got one more in. So, heck, maybe Phil will win another one. Who knows? Crazy stuff.
Gosh, I hope not. All right, Jim. Thanks so much for joining us on a Monday. Tell us again, at Jim Traber on Instagram.
That's right. Come on, jump in, man. We have a good time. And like I said, we got big announcements coming. Within the next 2 weeks, I got a big announcement that's going to be coming up, so I think people will like it. For a lot of you people out there in Elk City, maybe don't get to hear the other side of yours truly, so maybe you will.
All right, very good, very good. Thanks for joining us on a Monday. Have a great show this afternoon. There wasn't a game.
Had a bye week.
Had a bye week ahead of district, so we head down to Elgin Friday night. 3-0, the only team in the district, 3-0. No. Should be a win.
Who's good in your district?
Clinton, Weatherford, Cash. We'll see about Bethany. We'll see about Newcastle.
It's a good district.
And quite frankly, we'll see about Elk City.
Yeah.
It's kind of where they stack up.
Well, I love all the other teams, but I'm cheering on the Elks.
I appreciate it. Man, have a great day, and thanks for joining us.
All right, fellas. See ya.
Thanks, Jim.
Jim Traber, the ultimate, joining us on a Monday as usual. Good stuff. Very good stuff.
Instagram.
Did you not hear that last week? It was like Thursday.
I guess I did.
He announced it.
Missed that one. I heard his Eagles talk. I'm a little jealous he went to that Eagles concert.
Yes.
That's cool.
I did some Instagramming this weekend.
Okay.
Everybody have a great day.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered around.